Now, yesterday out in Bismarck, we were bringing you sounds from the North Dakota Chamber of Commerce Policy Summit, but there was meetings going on. One of those was receiving an audit from State Auditor Josh Gallion about the Attorney General's office. Now, if you recall, there was money that was overspent in a building. All of these questions, emails were deleted. And credit to this legislative body and this committee for saying, we got to get to the bottom of this. One of those lawmakers is Republican Representative Mike Nathy out of Bismarck. That's joining us right now. And Representative Nathy, I appreciate your time. What'd you learn yesterday?
Good afternoon, Tyler. Thanks for having me on. Well, it was quite surprising to say the least. Obviously, we knew about the $1.8 million overrun. We made a motion back in June to have the auditor and the AG work together on getting the information on the overrun. The auditor did that, and you know, during that process is when they also found out a couple weeks later about the missing emails. So that was also involved in all this. So yesterday was a pretty heavy day. We had a whole, most of the day was we went through these audits that we usually do on the audit committee, but at the very end was the report by the auditor. And you can read the report on the auditor's website. It's 44 pages long. It's right there on the front page. It's easy reading, and it spells it out pretty clearly. And the long and short of it is, you know, when they built the building, they had the overrun because they added on a garage and they wanted to meet it to FBI specs and some of this other stuff. But the bottom line is during that construction, there is invoices, or say lack of invoices, that were paid out. There was money that was paid out with no invoices, no accountability on the invoices. There's some question about how the deal got done to begin with in the first place. And as Senator Joan Heckman said, this was very troubling on many different levels as we went through. And I've been on a lot of committees, Tyler, and things really got serious. I was really shocked at how the committee turned and how intense it got yesterday when we looked at this thing. And there was nobody was really happy after the auditor gave this report.
So, well, and Representative Nathy, I mean, the taxpayers shouldn't be happy about this either, you know, about this abuse.
Absolutely not. Now, I did ask during the hearing, had they contacted the owners, Representative Doctor and his partners, had they contacted them to explain some of these things? And he said no, he had not. So to be fair to those guys, you know, that will come out now with the investigation. We kicked this up to the Attorney General. The committee's concern was the Attorney General can't investigate itself, and they agreed. So the Attorney General is going to get an outside investigative organization, and they're going to look into this. And during that process, they will talk to the building owners, Representative Doctor and his partners, and get their side of the story. Because quite frankly, we didn't hear anything from them yesterday. Nothing of that was in the report. So to be fair, we got to see what they have. But everybody was extremely uncomfortable, and nobody was happy with what we saw yesterday in that report. That's for sure.
Well, and I was pretty tough on Attorney General Drew Wrigley yesterday because of text messages. So today I can give credit to him for acknowledging, look, we can't do this investigation in-house. We have to have somebody, a third party, to really get this thing, you know, to a resolution that everybody can agree is credible. You bring up, and you're right, too, because this audit shows that Representative Jason Doctor, you know, the building, the lease, some of the companies that he co-owns to perform the renovations as part of the lease, this really looks like it stinks. And I understand look, we got to hear his side of this, and that will come out with this investigation. But going forward, I mean, you know, this being perhaps a moment of clarity saying, look, we got to do better, where citizen legislature, should lawmakers and others involved in state have to disclose what they own as far as property goes?
Well, I know there's the interim committee meeting taking a look at that. And, you know, Tyler, we wouldn't have had so much of a problem with this. We have safeguards in place, but a lot of those safeguards in this instance were not adhered to. I mean, there's an RFP process. There's a process that before you do these sorts of things that people sign off on. I mean, you know, this deal was done with the partners having the state of North Dakota sign a lease before they bought the building so they could get financing. And we asked the question, has that been done before? And they said, no, it's never been done before. Now, in the private sector, that happens all the time. If I own land and if I could get a tenant that would agree before I bought a building, that'd be awesome. Right. So it does happen in the private sector. It doesn't happen with the state of North Dakota. And this was an exception. And so that, right from the very beginning, smelled right there. And the state should not have signed that. Should not have signed that lease. That should have gone through the normal procedures. Or hey, we don't do that. But none of that. That was not followed.
And so I'm curious, Representative Nathan, whose signature was on that lease as a part of the state of North Dakota? Well,
John Boyle is the facilities manager for the state of North Dakota, and he signs those, and they go over those leases. This lease was a 10-year lease. State doesn't normally do 10-year leases. And Representative Keith Kepenich out of Bowman was extremely adamant about it, and I think almost took it personally about how some of these things were not followed, and this level of trust has been broken. And this is not how the state of North Dakota procures properties for their agencies or for whoever they have to do it for. They were not following their usual procedures and how they usually do it. So this was an extraordinary case, and then look what we have here. We have all these problems. So if I'm a lawmaker and I own some property, if I follow all the rules, there shouldn't be any problem. But this did not follow the normal course of business when it came to buying the building and came to putting the AG's office down there. We took a tour of that building as a committee yesterday morning before we had this report, and we walked through it. Very nice, a lot of stuff down there. But we talked to some other agencies down there who told us in no uncertain terms they did not want to leave the Capitol. They did not want to go down there. In fact, they have less space now, and they have higher rent. Now, that doesn't fall on the owners. That falls more on the office.
Right.
And unfortunately, the people involved, AG Stenjamin passed away. The Assistant Attorney General, Troy Seibel, is no longer there. And then the big thing is Seibel's emails are missing.
Yeah,
that's the other thing in this whole mess. It'd be nice to have those emails so we can maybe do a little backtracking. And who knows, Tyler, maybe there's some rational explanations as to why all this came up. But we don't have that. We don't have that information. And when you don't, then all these other questions start popping up.
Well, and we got to acknowledge the way of which those emails were deleted. And the fact that we don't want public finding out about this leads us to an even, I think, more understandable train of thought saying this stinks. Something's wrong here. We cannot allow this to happen again. Everything keeps pointing to there's something wrong here, and we got to get to the bottom of it, Representative.
Well, that's certainly the perception with the emails, right? I mean, anything short of finding it, we don't know, but that's certainly the perception. And then when you look at this whole property deal that happened and the emails pertaining to that are gone, it's naturally the public are going to come to that conclusion. I mean, anybody would. So believe me, I was at the budget section today at the Capitol up in the Senate chambers. This was the number one topic amongst my colleagues. And nobody was happy about this. Everybody was like, what in the heck is going on? Uh-huh. And so we're going to find out. We asked the AG to get an outside source. He agreed. We also told him we want this done before we get into session, because time is a bit of a priority here. Yeah. And we don't want this hanging over our head going into the session. This has to be resolved, and we have to find out as much information as we can on this.
Representative, you mentioned the Capitol, and no surprise, it's been a little while since I've been out to the Capitol. And the question I have is, are there bodies moving around? It seems as though, as we're talking, you mentioned yesterday, all right, well, we went out there, we toured, and they're saying, we didn't want to leave the Capitol. I mean, why? We have all this new space, but are we underutilizing the space we already have with the Capitol?
Well, we are. I mean, they moved the AG people out of there, and now those floors are empty. We have empty floors in the Capitol. You know, and it's no fault of the division heads or the employees. You can't fault the Wrigley administration, the AG office, because they weren't there. I mean, you know, there's a new AG, a new assistant AG. Some of the other people are new. So this all happened prior to them getting in there. So, no, we heard from a division head. He pulled no punches. He was not happy about going down there, not one bit. And he said, hey, it's costing us more money. We used to have the public come in our offices all the time. Now we get no public. I mean, one of them is that in the lottery, and they talked about it in the report, the lottery, when they have profits, goes back into the state's general fund. Well, now the lottery's got to use that profit money to pay for the rent. So it's costing the state and general fund money. Jeez. It's right in the report.
It's unbelievable, and I'd encourage everybody
and the question is, who wrote the lease and why? I mean, they had to rewrite the lease to make up for the shortfall, and so everybody else is paying for that shortfall, and that's exactly what the division head told us.
Well,
our lease, our lease is up. Yeah. And it's more expensive because we're paying for the overrun. Excuse me, not shortfall, but the overrun.
Yeah, there's a lot of stones that still need to be unturned, and we'll be following along here. I got one final question for you as I'm getting close to the clock here. And I always appreciate you coming on. You mentioned the interim.
Is it property tax? Is it property
No. the governor sure has stomped all over your guys' proposal. I mean, if you want to respond, I'll give you a moment here if you want to.
I would just say wait till we get into session. So that's really when things come.
Yeah, I got that impression from your fellow lawmakers when I was out in Bismarck yesterday. There was a surprise that Governor Burgum came out as strong against your proposal as he did. Now, granted, I got quite a few texts yesterday.
Yeah. But you know, that's politics, and that's fine. That's all part of the game. That's not a personal thing. He's advocating for his position, and we'll advocate for ours. And I vote in the chamber, and he doesn't. So we'll see what happens.
Well, and I think you got the public opinion on your side, and I've shared my opinion on which one is better, I think, in policy many a time. But the final question I have for you is not property taxes. You talk about the interim budget section. You know, earlier today, there was $19 million in federal funding to support weatherization program that goes through the Department of Commerce. That was rejected. I'm curious, did you vote for the $19 million to be spent, or did you vote against it?
I vote for it to be spent. That's the one that lost. I think it's 16, 17 was the vote, I believe.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
We had three separate ones, and they were all very much alike. Tyler, I got to go back and take a look. I got to go back and take a look. I think I may have voted. I got to take it back and take a look because they're kind of confusing.
Sure.
So the $19 million, I believe I may have voted against it. Reason being is, Chairman Pollard said, this was voted on by the legislature. The legislature should have its say in this. There is money in the program for this going forward. So it was more of a philosophical, more of a, hey, you know, we get accused of being in mini legislature the way it is, and let the 140 so legislators vote on this next session as we go back into session. So
and my question,
the one you're talking about,
there was just the one that got rejected, and I'm just being, I didn't know which way you voted. That was a general question. That wasn't a gotcha.
That's fine. Don't be stand by your vote.
Yeah. So is the $19 million going to be there when the legislature gets together, is my question. Because if not, I know Jeff Delzer, House Appropriations Chair, said, well, look, you know, we can send this back. They can reduce deficit. And Representative Nathy, I think you and I both know that's not how it works. This will go
to
be spent somewhere else.
No, that's not how it works. And he also did say, hey, I think the money will be there, Tyler. Is 100%? We don't know. But I think the money still will be there. But if it's not, and as Representative Delzer said, hey, we will then step up. We're pretty flush. We're in great financial position right now as a state, and we'll step up and then make up that shortfall. So we'll be addressing that during the session, Tyler. I mean, nobody wants to hurt this program. Like I said, I think it was more of a philosophical issue of, you know, let's let the whole body make this decision, not just a small handful.
Mike, I'm up against the clock. I always appreciate your time, and we'll chat again soon, all right?
Take care.
All right, yeah, you take care. Mike Nathy, representative out of Bismarck. I got to run. Get you caught up with CBS News. I'll give you my thoughts on the flip side of the 4 o'clock hour here on KFGO.